I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. Luke, chapter number 1, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Begin reading in verse number 26. A story so familiar for those of us who are in church, but a story that never grows old. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." I want to preach today on the miraculous birth of Christ. The miraculous birth of Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to thee, Lord, thanking thee for your gift of love and mercy, for your gift of salvation through Christ. Thanking thee for your presence with us each and every day for those that have trusted you. Lord, I pray now that you would meet with us in a special way. Our hearts have been stirred by the beautiful music. We want to thank you for that. Lord, we come now to the time of the Word of God and the preaching. Lord, we need the power of the Spirit of God to do something special. Lord, I pray that you would empower me. And I pray, Lord, that I'd preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to our lives today and help us and strengthen us. Lord, I pray that Christ would be exalted. I pray, Lord, for souls that are here without Thee as Savior, that today they would come to trust Thee. Lord, we ask that You would work in this service in such a way that when all is said and done, that You would be pleased with everything that's taken place. We'll give You the glory right now for what's accomplished, for we know that all good things come from Thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. In this time of the year, so many people get caught up in giving and receiving gifts. And I want you to know there's nothing wrong with giving gifts and receiving gifts. And I believe it is better to give than to receive. But there's nothing wrong with it. But so many think that that's all that this season's about. That's all it is. A lot of people will say things about, you know, it's about family, it's about being kind to others, or just having a different kind of an attitude. And those all sound very good. But really, that should be a part of our lives all the time, not just in a certain season of the year. For centuries, we have come to this time of the year, and it's been about the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we don't know the actual date of the birth of Christ, and we may very well, if we understood all the history of Christmas, we may not very well associate with how the celebration truly began. But it's always been a time, and it's always been an emphasis that was intended on celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, we see even that being done away with. You know, more and more, it's Happy Holidays, and and Merry Xmas and things like this. It sickens me. But I want you to know that we need to go back and put the emphasis on the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's a time of the year when although the world may be straying further and further away from the birth of Christ and Christmas and all these different things, there's still an attitude about this is the birth of Christ. And even non-believers and even atheists recognize the power of all of it. That's why they're trying to change it. That's why they're trying to do away with it. So I believe in our hearts and in our lives, we need to go back and we need to re-examine the miraculous birth of Christ. We need to renew our conviction about what Christ is, about who Christ is, and about Him coming into this world, and about Him being the Son of God robed in flesh. And today I want us to look in just for a few moments at the miraculous birth of Christ. I want us to begin today by looking at the promise of His birth. Notice what the Bible says as we look at once again in our scripture. The Bible says in verse number 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." We find here the promise of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that this isn't the first time the birth of Christ was promised. We can go all the way back to the book of beginnings, to the book of Genesis, and I would like for you to do that, if you will, with me this morning. Genesis chapter number 3. After the temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden and the fall of mankind, Satan used a serpent in subtlety to bring forth the sin to mankind. And God pronounced a curse upon the serpent and upon Satan. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 14, "And the Lord God said unto this serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go. And dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We find here the first mention of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it's talking about the seed of the woman, it's talking about the coming Savior. It's talking about one that would come into this world and would defeat this one that tempted Adam and Eve there in the garden. In Genesis chapter number 4, Eve was so very excited. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain." And listen, this is what she said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." She was convinced that this was the one, because God had promised that after her seed, that her seed would bruise Satan's head, and she thought this was the one. But I want you to know, this was not the one. The one that's going to come is going to come a few thousand years later. But we see that Eve thought that the promised seed had come, because this, when it says, "I've gotten a man from the Lord," it means even Jehovah. She was thinking, Jehovah, our Savior, is coming, and I am bearing him now. This wasn't part of God's plan. From Genesis chapter number 3, we find the next mention of this promised seed in Genesis chapter number 12. And we'll not carry this all the way through, but there's a great line all throughout the Old Testament bringing us up to the birth of Christ. But in Genesis chapter number 12, we find that God called a man by the name of Abram to leave his homeland. And because Abram did what God told him to do, I want you to see what the Bible says in verse number 3 of chapter 12. God said to Abram, "And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." You know how all the families of the earth are going to be blessed? Through the seed of Abraham, the Messiah would come. Through the seed of this one that God called out and was willing to go and to obey the Lord, this seed would come. Once again, in Genesis chapter number 17, the Bible says in verse number 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. You know what he said? He said, let Ishmael be the seed from which it comes. And God said, that's not what I've chosen. And then he goes on and says, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and what? With his seed after him. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And through Jacob we see the 12 tribes of Israel. And it was through those tribes that the Messiah would come. And we could talk more about that. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. As we look through this history and we see over and over and over again, the Bible says with his seed after him here, we see the promise of the birth of the Savior. There's all kinds of promises concerning the coming of Christ. There's all kinds of times in the Old Testament that we see that God said, there is a man coming, and he's going to be the Savior of the world, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Consider, if you will, the covenant that God made with David. What a covenant it was. His throne, he said, his house, his kingdom, talking about David, would be established forever. And David was the first king chosen by God to lead the children of Israel. He wasn't the first king of Israel. You remember they had Saul. The people said, we want a king. God didn't have the king for him yet. But they said, everybody else has a king. We want a king. God said, all right, I'll give you what you want. We get that a lot of times, don't we? We get what we ask for. And Saul seemed to be great at first, but I want you to know, at first he was little in his own eyes, but as he grew in his own eyes, he got worse and worse and worse. And he went from being a good king to being a horrible king in the end of his life. We find him consulting a witch and trying to raise the dead, try to get some direction for his life. The problem is that God didn't have Saul to be king. God had David to be king. And then when David came along, God anointed David king, and he gave him this promise. He said, your throne will be forever, your kingdom will be forever, and your house will be forever. And I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ came through the line of David. And he has established the house of David forever. Now, whether you like it or not, or I like it or not, I want you to know this is the promise that God made to his people, and this is a promise that God made to his man, David. And we have to take God and realize that God knows what he's doing. If we were to go back into the New Testament, we were to look at the genealogies in Matthew and Luke, we're going to see that it shows us that Christ was of the household of David. Both genealogies. When we look at it, we know that Matthew was a genealogy of the life of the line of Joseph, which traces the line of David through Solomon. Luke gives us a genealogy of the line of Mary, which traces the line of David through his son Nathan. I want you to know, it don't matter how you look at it, Jesus Christ was of the house of David and the lineage of David and of the seed of David. And so we begin to understand these things. Of course, we know that he was born of a virgin, and he was born and God was truly his father. We come to the very last chapter of the Bible, the very last book, and we see what the Lord Jesus said in chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 16. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And listen to this. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. You know, we see in the Bible the promise of his birth. And we see all kinds of things, and there's many, many more promises that we could go to and that we could give concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to look at one more before we go to our next thought. I want you to see what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. I want you to know the promise of his birth is all throughout the Old Testament. The Bible says Jesus is coming. Jehovah, our Savior, is coming. The Bible said in the very beginning, when man first sinned, there's a Savior coming to redeem from that sin. And we see all through the line from Adam down to Abram, from Abraham through Isaac to Jacob, through the lines of the 12 tribes, and we understand that this promise of his birth is real. Well, I want you to see that the promise of his birth leads us to the power of his birth. Because not only was the promise there, the power of his birth made the promise true. Back in our text in the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 32, I want you to notice what the Bible says. The angel continues as he's talking to Mary, and he says, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The promise of the Lord's coming would come true. The Messiah is going to be born. Verse 32 through 35 describes a truth that was first given in the Old Testament. When it says, he'll be great and he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Oh, there's power in his birth. The power is that the promise of his birth is going to be true. And the power is that these things are going to happen. Something miraculous. Something that we can't conceive. We see this prophecy concerning Christ and the throne of David all throughout the Bible. And that day is yet to come when Christ will sit upon the throne of David. That's not happened yet. We talked about that Wednesday night, didn't we? We was thinking about that Wednesday night. But just as sure as the promise was fulfilled that he would come the first time, so will the promise of his coming again be fulfilled. Just like Jesus came as a baby in a manger, Jesus Christ is going to come again. But before he comes again, we have to realize that the first advent had to take place. He had to come the first time, didn't he? He had to come into this world. And that's what I'm going to see when we see the power of this birth. How could that happen? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 34. Mary had some questions for this angel. Then the Bible says, said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I've never been with a man. I'm pure. How can this be? And I love the angel's answer. Directly from God, this was what the angel said. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I want you to know what was going on here. She said, how can this be, seeing that I know not a man? And he said, this is how. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. I believe immediately in her mind. It doesn't say this. But here's a woman that knew the Word of God. Here's a young lady that believed the Bible. Because if she didn't believe the Bible, God would not have chosen her to bring His Son into the world. I can just imagine as Gabriel begins to say this, immediately her mind goes back. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's the way God said the Messiah would come. What a miracle! The miraculous birth of Christ, the power of His birth is that the power of the highest would overshadow a woman, a young lady, a virgin that's never been with a man, and she would conceive and bring forth a son. Because the bloodline comes through the Father. The bloodline of Almighty God robed Himself in flesh and came into this world through a little baby, the form of a baby, from the womb of a virgin. And His name will be called Jesus. There's power in that, isn't there? There's power. There's life-changing power and life-giving power and life-altering power through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says also in verse number 35, that holy thing which shall be born. Isn't it amazing the words that God uses? That holy thing. So indescribable. That holy thing, He says, shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. In other words, the holiness of God will put on a robe of flesh and come into this world. That's powerful. The angel confirms this to Mary. He helps her to get an understanding. Because then, notice what he does. He declares that Mary's cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, was to bring forth a son also. Can you imagine? Elizabeth had longed for and waited for a child, no doubt. But she had gotten beyond the years of bearing children. And he says, I want you to know something. This is hard for you to understand all these things. But I want to show you something else. 6 months ago, your cousin, Elizabeth, in her old age and with a barren womb, conceived. Although she's been barren all of her life, now she's in the 6th month and she's expecting a child. How can that be? And Gabriel said all these things to say this. All these things sound difficult, Mary. It's hard to conceive this. It's hard to comprehend this. Here I am telling you that you're going to have a child. Now I'm telling you that Elizabeth's going to have a child. How can things like that be? I love the Bible's answer. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. How could Christ be born of a virgin? Because God said He would be born of a virgin. Mary was a special young lady. She lived a holy life and she understood the Scriptures. No doubt, for centuries, God had been waiting for this one to be born that was going to be the mother of His only begotten Son. And Mary, I love what happens here. With no hesitation, here's a lady that was surrendered to God. Here was a lady that could be used of God to bring the Son of God into the world. Notice what she says in verse 38, after she gets all this amazing news, after she hears, I'm going to conceive and Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And no doubt, some of us would have been there and we'd have been saying, but Lord, but what? But do you know what she says? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I'm His. Always have been His. But if this is the plan you have for me, I'm just your servant. What a blessing it'll be to bring forth the Savior. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, whatever God's will is. Now, you say, well, that's great and that's wonderful. That would be easy to say. The angel just appeared. This wasn't the end. Just imagine what's going to happen when all of her family sees she's expecting. Imagine what's going to happen when that priest in the synagogue sees she's with child. When all those long-tongued Sallys begin talking in the community. She's married. She's not married yet. She's expecting. She said, that's God's will. If God wants to use me that way, I'm willing to be used. That's the power of His birth. Because she knew that there was a day coming when a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call His name Emmanuel. I have no doubt that she was shocked that God chose her. But she loved Him so much that she didn't care the ridicule. She didn't care what she had to go through. She said, behold, here I am. Just take me. However it is you want to use me to perform your will, I'm here. Be it unto me. The power of His birth. We see the promise of His birth. We see the power of His birth. But now I want you to see the purpose of His birth. And once you go back to another gospel record of His birth into this world, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1. Read one verse of Scripture. We see the same scene, some different viewpoints here. The Bible talks to about this, the Bible says, actually, beginning in verse number 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And here's the purpose of His birth. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. We can talk about the promise of His birth. We can speak of the power of His birth. But here we see why He came. We see the purpose of His coming. The Bible says He shall save His people from their sins. All throughout the Bible we see the reason that Christ came into the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He shall come to save His people from their sins. Who is His people? Whosoever believeth in Him. I'm telling you, Christ Jesus came into this world to save your soul from a devil's hell. He came into this world to change your life and to make you a new creature in Christ. He came into this world because He loved you and He wanted to shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for your sins. Oh, the miraculous birth of Christ is so wonderful and so amazing. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 12 and verse number 23, the Bible says, Jesus answered, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause," Jesus said, "but for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." For this cause, he said, I came into this world. The purpose of my birth was to glorify my Father and to bring salvation to this world. John chapter number 10, he says, "I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." What was the purpose of his birth? To bring life eternal and life abundant. That's why Jesus came into this world, to bring salvation for everybody. And here's the great thing about it. Not only do you get eternal life when you get the Lord Jesus Christ, he says you can have abundant life. I'm living in the abundance of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now. I have peace every day of my life that heaven's going to be my home. When I lay my head down on my pillow, not because I'm so good and because I've done everything I ought to do that day, but because there was a day in my life where I gave myself to Him and I trusted Him as my Savior. He gave me life eternal. Now I'm living in the abundance. I'm living in the overflow of all that God did for me because He was born into this world and He came into this world and His purpose was that He was born to die. The story of Christ does not end in the cradle. The story of Christ does not end on the cross. By the way, the story of Christ really does not even end the third day when He rises from the grave. The story of Christ is an eternal story. And one day the Christ that came into the world the first time as a baby in a manger will one day soon come back in the clouds and He'll split the eastern sky. And the Bible teaches us the dead in Christ shall rise and we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet them in the clouds. And then there's going to be a day coming 7 years later when the Lord Jesus Christ will return to earth, fight the battle, set up a kingdom. And then for 1,000 years, we know all that, we've studied it. After that 1,000 years, Satan loose for a little season to take care of the business he needs to take care of. That'll usher in eternity. That's the purpose. That's why he came the first time. Oh, I'm looking forward to the second time he comes. I'm looking forward to the time he comes in the clouds, but I want you to know, I'm so happy about the first time he came. The miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, "I'm come that I have life, that I have it more abundantly," he says, "I am the good shepherd. Giveth his life for the sheep." So the purpose of his birth, he was born to die, to bring salvation. He was born to die so that we could live. He that was rich became poor so that we might become rich. One verse of Scripture I think is a glorious verse. The Bible says, "For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, that we, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, Christ became sin so that we as sinners could become righteous. His purpose was and is to provide a way for anyone to have eternal life. The wages of sin is death. No doubt about it. It's the wages. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. While the world's tried to do away with the true meaning of Christmas, well, they've tried to make it about getting and giving gifts and all that. The truth is, Christmas is about the greatest gift of all. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not just something for one day or for one season. It's something forever. It's a gift that is for every day of our lives. And it's a gift that never grows old. It's a gift that never rusts. It's a gift whose warranty never runs out. And it's a gift that you can receive it and you can give it to others. And as much of it as you possibly give to others, you'll still have just as much as you ever had. That's miraculous, isn't it? The miraculous birth of Christ. And by the way, guess who this gift is for? Anybody. Anybody that wants it can have it. That's a miracle, isn't it? We've got little lists. Give a gift to this one, this one. God says, anybody can have it. I'm offering it to everybody, but you got to receive it. It's there for you, but you have to receive it into your life. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer. We're going to pray in just a moment. So we think about the miraculous birth of Christ. We think about the promise of His birth, and He's already come into this world. He's already come that first time. Think about the power of His birth. Just how God moved and used Mary and all the things and Gabriel. And the power of that birth is still amazing. But I want you to think about the purpose of His birth. Born to die. Came into this world so that you could have eternal life. A gift. That's to anybody. Your payment's death, but God says, I have a gift for you. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've received that gift. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that there's a day in my life where I trusted by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if I were to die today, or if the rapture were to take place today, whatever may occur, I know I'm going to heaven, not because I'm so good, but because my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you lift your hand? I'm giving a testimony right now. I'm saved. Not perfect, but saved. God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty. How many of you say, preacher, I'm here. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We don't do this to ever embarrass anyone. I found out one thing, though, when we admit we have a need, then it's then that we'll do something about it. If you're here and you say, preacher, I didn't lift my hand right then. I don't have the peace in my heart, my soul, that heaven's going to be my home. And I want you to pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. But I care enough about my soul and eternity that I would at least ask you to pray for me. We won't drag you down the aisle. We won't make you do something that you're not willing to do, because you have to come yourself by faith. But you say, I just want your prayers, preacher. I'm not saved, not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Would there be one? God bless you. Thank you for that honesty. Would there be another one this morning? Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. But there'll be one more. Pray for me, preacher. I don't know that heaven's going to be my home. Many of us are saved. Heaven's going to be our home. We've admitted that, and we've testified to it already. But have we forgotten what Christmas is about? Have we gotten busy with the shopping and with being sure that all this and all that's done? Look, I know you're going to give gifts, but have we forgotten to tell others about the Lord Jesus and have the right attitude when we're out doing the shopping and when we're exchanging gifts and when we're talking to others? Are we putting Christ in the proper place? I think that's convicting. It is to me. Maybe you need to come today and say, Lord, help me. Help me to always be sure that Christ has the proper place in my life, not just at this time of the year, but at all times of the year. Maybe today you just got a renewed emphasis on the birth of Christ. Maybe the Lord, through the Spirit of God, has worked in your life in such a way and given you even a greater excitement about who Christ is and what He's done for you. Maybe you need to come today and ask Him to help you to do the right things, or maybe you need to come and just thank Him for what He's done. However God's dealing with you, would you obey the Lord today? If you raised your hand just a moment ago that you don't know for sure that heaven's going to be your home, why don't you let us show you how to be saved? We don't embarrass people. We don't do that. But if you don't know for sure that heaven's going to be your home, the Lord Jesus is God's gift to you. You can either receive it into your life or you can reject it. And I'll tell you, the greatest thing you can do in your life is receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible shows us simply how we can do that. It's about faith.